Hello and welcome. This is IdeaGen's 17 Days of Sustainability Summit. I would love to welcome Kim Smith, Board of Advisor for WIC and Global Vice President Cloud Innovation Services at IBM. Welcome, Kim.
Hello. Thank you. It's nice to see you, Cooper.
We are so glad to have you here. I'll turn it over to you and your wonderful panelists.
Well, I'm really excited to be here today, and thank you everyone for giving us a moment to spend time with you during this exciting event over the course of the next month. I want to make sure that we are here today to talk a little bit about addressing digital literacy and social entrepreneurship and entrepreneurship skills in today's current environment. I don't know if everyone here has heard, but Creative Children for Charity 3C is a youth foundation run by youth and is launching social entrepreneurship programs to help youth become more socially involved and creating their own businesses as social entrepreneurs to provide resources to navigate their life effectively. And if you think about the reality of our current situation, now is the time more than ever that digital literacy really does matter. So this particular session that we're going to have today is designed to help you learn what experiences got youth involved, to get empowered and to achieve their goals. I'd love to start by introducing a few of the speakers that we'll have here, and some questions I'll be asking them about today are specifically targeted toward the different activities that they've been working on. There was recently the 3C Digital Act and Pitch Challenge that we're really excited to share with you a little bit more about that particular event and how they were involved in that event. And so why don't I take a moment here and go ahead and introduce some of the speakers. Okay, so I am the moderator today, as you heard, Kimberly Smith. We have Maria, who's created the foundation of Kids for America. She is one of the founding members. She'll talk a little bit about what she's provided to really create entrepreneurship. We have Harvind, who created Creative Children for Charity. And we have Neil, who also is one of the organizers for Creative Children for Charity. So welcome all three of you for making it. Well, let me do this. Let me set some context. So let's talk about the importance of entrepreneurship skills in the digital age. And as I was a judge in the most recent pitch challenge, one of the things that was really powerful for me to see was the depth of innovation that each of you created. I'd love to learn a little bit more about each of you beyond the pitch challenge, because we spent a little time together, but I think this audience would love to hear more about you as well. So if you wouldn't mind, share, just introduce yourself, tell us what you're facing as a youth today, and the community around you of youths are facing in the midst of COVID, especially now that school is going to be virtual for a lot of you. So why don't we go ahead and start with Mariah.
Hello, my name is Mariah. And as a kid, it's been quite hard balancing the amount of time on screens and the time that we get outside. It's also really hard to stay away from your friends in school and family in other states.
Thank you for sharing that. That's a really good point. Harvind.
Yeah, so I think a lot of the challenges that youth are facing right now is transitioning a lot of the extracurriculars and activities that they've done throughout most of their lives that are now moving virtually. So I know a lot of people who are really invested in sports who don't have the ability to do that anymore, a lot of clubs that have difficulty functioning. And it's really about this process of how do we transition as much as we can in a way that is still safe for the people involved, or how do we transition things digitally? And that's a big challenge for everyone involved.
Really, really good points as well. I think the digital challenge and being disconnected, as you've both pointed out, and having to maintain that connectivity, it can be exhausting sometimes, I'll bet. Neil, what are some of your thoughts? Share a little bit about your experiences and what you're seeing.
I would say like the teachers are trying their best to keep us engaged, yet it just feels like a little boring because we still have to be on the screen and like be on the computer for several hours a day, and it just gets kind of repetitive.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I, as I'm seeing with some of the schools today, what they're trying to do is create more asynchronous learning experiences, which was hopefully each of you will start to see as well. Well, let me ask you another question. What is the last thing you changed your mind about? I'm curious what you're seeing and what's important to you, and you know how you're seeing that as an issue today. What are some things that are really having you kind of step back and change the way you think about things? Let me start with Neil. Let's go backwards this time.
That is a really interesting question. So the last thing I changed my mind about is my breakfast choice. I really wanted to eat cereal today, but I chose to eat a burrito bowl from Qdoba.
That's awesome. It's awesome to shift things up. How about, Maria, what do you think? What was the last thing you changed your not mind
about? Well, my sister had a birthday recently, and I was going to draw her a cat for her present, but I decided to paint her a painting, and she really liked it.
That's awesome. Now, for both of you, we'll go backwards again. Are you finding that you're seeing yourself as being more adaptive, and you're able to kind of change your mind and be more fluid and flexible in the current climate? Or is it harder to be able to change your mind quickly? And do you find that you take more time kind of thinking through things?
Well, that's an interesting question because both would work. I mean, I'm flexible with school online right now, but I'm also not really flexible when I get kind of angry when I have to spend too much time on screens each day because it's like bad for my eyes. And
yeah, that makes sense. How about you, Neil?
I think it's making us this situation is making us like people be more flexible to things because everything is changing. And for me, I think I'm getting becoming more flexible because it's every day is different than the last day.
That's good. The flexibility is key right now. And Neil, while I have you, let's talk a little bit about creativity for children, creative children for charity, and creativity that you have brought about in being a founder for that particular program, and the flexibility that was required in you taking something on new while you're doing virtual school. Talk a little bit about kind of the history and what brought the program about and what got you excited about it.
Yes, of course. So to give you some background of Creative Children for Charity, our mission is to inspire 1 million kids and teens to donate their time and talent for a social cause. We offer many youth activities throughout the year, which include entrepreneurship programs, service projects, and technology classes. One of the signature programs around entrepreneurship is Spirit and Entrepreneurship Program. In the last 3 years, we have engaged over 500 youth entrepreneurs participating to raise over $13,000 and to support 36 community partners.
Wow, that is amazing. And I just still having had the opportunity to be a judge for the most recent pitch challenge, I am so impressed with what all of the youth have put together. And especially given this was what you spent your summer on. So when you think about it, you basically all started your own businesses to improve the world around you, to make the world a better place, and to drive sustainability. And every one of the candidates and the winners were all focused on the 17 Sustainable Development Goals from the United Nations, which was so impactful to see. Just to see the next generation of leaders come up with business models, execute against those business models, and launch their businesses in less than 3 weeks with e-commerce platforms. Bravo to all of you. I know businesses and startups that haven't done nearly that level of work in that period of time. So I want to just give you all kudos. And Harvin, I just to ask you a quick question on this. As you think about the business fair and specifically how you associate what you were trying to do with the business fair and the pitch challenge with the United Nations goals, where do you see the connective tissue?
Yeah, so I think there's been a lot of really interesting takes that our youth entrepreneurs have taken to this social cause. I think one of the most basic ways that they've been giving back to the community is directly taking a portion of their profits and donating that for a specific cause. They'll choose a charity, which is why we are Creative Children for Charity. We're looking to put our efforts and our profits towards charity. But beyond that, we also see a lot of youth entrepreneurs that come up with business ideas that also have social impact in and of itself. Maria is going to be a really good example when she comes up, because she's really doing some powerful work in increasing community engagement on the political side, and you'll hear more from her later.
Great. And a little more context there, Arvind. You know, when you think about the planning and the challenges and tools that you had to pick for the program, you know, talk a little bit about that. What went into the planning and how you identified the types of tools you'd want to use, and a little bit more maybe about the no code tools. I think that was really impactful. Having no code tools really expanded the thinking for the different business models. How did you come about that in the planning process?
Absolutely. So I think this was one of the greatest challenges that we had to try and face. Of course, this is how many businesses struggled during quarantine, because we had to figure out how do we move things online? Because frankly, running a business fair physically is way, way, way easier than running it online. You know, the logistics of how these businesses start up is really simple. They just come over to a table or a booth, they set up their products, and they just get right to selling. But online, it's not so easy. And never mind the youth entrepreneurs not yet knowing exactly their ins and outs to e-commerce, we, the organizers, had to learn along as well. So we really had to, within a short time frame, get accustomed to how e-commerce platforms work and also how to teach it to these kids. So planning that curriculum, learning how these platforms work, was definitely a really big challenge. And that was kind of proven, because we were switching around between platforms, even like mid-academy, such as like we switched from this platform, one video conferencing platform, to the next. And how we taught our programs was also pretty different. Yeah, from remote to Zoom. I think the no-code tools were also a really big part of it. We taught these kids how to work with programs like Canvas, Beautiful AI to make slide presentations, how to set up their stores on Mela, and many more other programs. So these were really important for giving them the basic tools on how to make their business a success without having too much in-depth knowledge on like how to code.
That's really helpful. And it was a tremendous undertaking as an organizer and founder for this this charity. I'm going to shift over to one of the individuals who actually got to really alpha and beta test this environment in the true digital world. And in fact, is the 2020 winner of the Youth Digital Pitch Challenge. So Mariah, congratulations. What an incredible accomplishment that you had. I just loved your idea. Can you share with the audience a little bit more about your innovation and what inspired you to launch Kids for America?
Yeah, thank you so much. We launched a website, kidsforamerica.org, and it helps people in the U.S. send letters to politicians. Right now, COVID is a really tough time for everyone, and politicians are trying hard to stop the spread and keep citizens safe. Kids for America helps people send feedback and ideas to politicians without a lot of effort. And customers who visit our website will choose from a variety of statements and add their own personal note if they want. Then we will take it from there. We print and mail the physical letters ourselves to the politicians.
It was so powerful. It was so powerful. Tell me a little bit about the results. How did it go? Once you got everything set up and you went live and you held your breath, then what happened?
Do you mean like after the pitch competition?
No, I'm just saying after you, yeah, actually, as people got the chance to test it out.
Oh, yeah. After that, we got a lot of notes saying that they really loved it. And and they thought it was really cool of how young entrepreneurs like me and such can create this. And so, yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
That was wonderful. And I understand you had 200 sales in 3 weeks. Is that right? Roughly about $1,000?
It was actually, $1,000 in sales in 3 weeks.
That is really impressive. Like I said, there are a lot of startups and websites that have not been that successful. So congratulations to you. And I guess the question for all of you, and I'll go back to Neil to start with, as a youth, what kind of digital programs did you use as part of the business fair that you loved, and why did you love it?
Okay, thank you so much. So one of the programs we use was Biteable. Biteable is like a really cool and really easy tool to make like ads and explanation videos for kids and just anyone to use. So you market your business. And another tool that we use to teach the kids was Canva. Canva is a really easy design tool for kids and anybody to use. And I thought that those two were like one of the tools for that we used during this event.
That's great. That's great. Any other tools, Mariah or Harvin, that you thought were really any of the digital programs that were used for the business fair that you found were really great and you might use for other things, maybe even at school this year?
Yeah, I can talk about a few. One is Beautiful AI. It's a presentation software that helps you format and collaborate on presentations that I didn't really know about before. I was someone who used Google Slides for pretty much anything that I had to do regarding collaboration on slides. But Beautiful AI honestly looks so much better and it's really easy to set up. So honestly, if I have a group presentation I have to work on at school, I might just be using Beautiful AI now. and I think Maria can also expand on this, but I thought Mela was one of the most user-friendly e-commerce sites to set up because you just had to list your products, put in a few descriptions in some text boxes, and you would have a site where it would work with the shipping for you. You could list your products and make transactions in a really, really easy way.
Well, that's fantastic. Maria, what were your thoughts? Any of the digital programs you loved?
Yeah. So like Harvin said, I really love Beautiful AI. It was a really clean and beautiful. I've been using Google Slides for a long time now, and I'm used to it, but now that I got a chance to use Beautiful AI, it was really amazing. For our website, other kids that were participating used Mela, Canva, and Mela and Canva and things like that. But our team had to create a custom website that used Wix, Retool, and JavaScript. And we're also really lucky that my 12-year-old brother helped and did most of the coding for our website.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic. It really put your deliverable over the top, all the different tools that you used. And it sounds like some of them were not only easy to use, but were really applicable for what you needed. And if you think about using those digital programs to empower you to accomplish the United Nations Sustainable Goals, I'm curious, how did you shape your ideas? Did tools influence you? Did making the world a better place influence you? Did each of you have your own individual passions? How did you get connected to what matters most for United Nations and the Sustainable Development Goals over the next 10 years? And then what empowered you to actually identify the right idea for you and show your passion? So I guess we'll start with Harvin. Let's start with you.
Okay. So I think in my work with 3C, also some of my time with Women in Cloud and also IdeaGen, I think the United Nations goals really made me refine my process when I was coming up with different business ideas. I've been working on entrepreneurial projects outside of 3C, and almost all of the ones that I've made after joining 3C have always had a social edge to it. And part of the reason why that is true is because when I am formulating the business idea, thinking of how to pitch it, I would always go to make sure I'm doing the research for also what are the social implications? What are the problems I'm trying to solve on this kind of like UN goal, this basic humanitarian aspect? How am I contributing there? And I think that's been a really, really powerful part to include whenever I've been trying to communicate the message of why I have a passion about a certain business. And I think that's been really powerful throughout my experiences.
Thank you, Harvin. I think that's really helpful to know that there are things going on in the world that have direct implications to how you see the world and specifically where you think you can make a difference, which is fantastic. Neil, what are your thoughts around this?
I totally agree with Harvin on like how it's like why something is important. And like for me, I think like IdeaGen WIC has inspired me to like how I can be like more, I don't know how I would say it, but like how I can impact more people with like a business than just doing one thing, but like more.
I like that you can do more, that there's so much more that you can do. And, you know, co-dreaming or dreaming together and collaborating can happen because we can work together to solve challenges. And that's one of the reasons that IdeaGen has brought all of us together, that Women in Cloud has brought all of us together, is because it's really helpful when someone has a good idea to then bring that idea together with ways that you can solve for it. And I think the why that you talked about is really critical there, Neil. I would agree. Mariah, what are your thoughts about you know, your passion around some of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and where you've seen some of this collaborative innovation, you know, inspire you?
Yeah, well, I was thinking that building a business shouldn't just be about making money. It should be about like helping others in the community and throughout the world. The UN goals were helpful in determining where we wanted to make an impact. Our UN goal was helping sustainable cities and communities grow. We chose this goal because helping people around the world grow their cities and communities is really important to us.
That's fantastic. Inspiring the next generation to inspire the world to be better. That is, I could not have said it better. Thank you for saying that. And I guess my last couple of questions are for you, Neil and Harvin. As you're launching the second cohort, what are your thoughts? What can the youth out there expect today and tomorrow, and where you want to take this program? And then are there any changes in the program itself that you're looking to make? So I'll let one of you decide. Neil, do you want to start?
Sure, of course. Yeah. So we as a team took a lot of feedback from the first cohort to find the next cohort. We'll be launching the second cohort in October-ish, and we want the kids to like settle down around in school because it's like it's always changing in school too. And we know spending time in front of a computer is really hard, and we are exploring new ways to engage kids. And we are also looking for corporate and union partners to support us in scaling the program.
Okay, before I let Harvin say anything, did you hear that, corporations out there? These kids have started some incredible programs as entrepreneurs. We need venture capital support specifically for the next generation of leaders out there. So step up and step in for large companies and venture capitalists out there. Harvin, anything you'd like to add to that for the next generation of these cohorts?
Yeah, I just want to talk about how the team has been feeling after the first cohort. We were just like bustling with ideas on how we could improve moving forward. So I'm really excited for what the future looks like for the Digital Acton Children Business Fair and how the entire process can evolve from here on out.
Excited. And I guess my last question is to Mariah. If you were to give any advice to anyone who's going to jump in the pool with you and really tackle these challenges, these are pretty daunting challenges if you think about what the United Nations is trying to solve for and how IdeaGen is driving innovative collaboration and how Women in Cloud is driving economical sustainability for some new businesses. How do you help someone feel not overwhelmed by this? I mean, you're a fourth grader, right? So what are some things, some advice that you would give to the next generation of cohorts for this effort and anyone who's looking to support them?
Well, my advice would just be try hard try to get your goals. And you can't just you can only get your goals if you try hard and have an open mind to feedback and things. I think that's my probably biggest advice that I would say.
Well, I have to admit that last thing could not be more timely. Having an open mind and trying new things and being willing to go out there and apply somehow to your why. You know, what is your why? And then what are some really creative ways that you can solve for it? And what I really love about this particular program and what Creative Children for Charity has done is provided the platform, the tools, and the empowerment and the community so that you can launch some really amazing, life-changing experiences. So I want to thank all of you for your time. Are there any last words that you'd like to add, any of you, for the audience today?
I just want to thank you, Kim, and Ideagen, and Woon and Cloud for giving us the opportunity.
Well, thanks for all of you. I thank you for your time and your energy and your amazing hard work. You literally, my mind was blown by some of the incredible outcomes that you drove together. And I just want to thank you. I look forward to seeing your change continue to impact the world. And thank you everyone for your time. So with that, we'll wrap this session for the Sustainable Development Goals. And I look forward to seeing you all again for the next session. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.